and lift them up. We want to thank him for that, but we do need to ask, and we need to be open and honest and allow him to speak to us and show us who we are. And sometimes maybe what we see, maybe he doesn't like, so he works on that. And we want to open ourselves to that. Let's pray and ask for his grace on this all. Lord, we come before you this morning. We think of Jonas and Jen and their home and their family. Lord, we lift them up to you. Just desire that you could touch them, Father, and give them grace and mercy, Lord. Pray that you could reach in there, and especially for Jen's request for grace and love and patience with her children and family. And Lord, you know the cares on her heart this morning. We lift them up to you and ask that you could be near to them, Father, as a family. Pray you'd strengthen her. Pray you'd hear her request and turn your heart to her, Father. Pray you give her grace. Lord, we pray too for Jonas as he seeks you. Lord, I pray you just continue to put a fire and a hunger in his heart, Lord, and help them, Lord, as a family to just go on and to seek you and to be a blessing in the kingdom. Lord, we pray this morning. And Lord, as we consider our own hearts, myself, and Lord, we're here this morning. Lord, I ask you could have mercy and touch each of our hearts this morning, Lord. We would be honest in an open way. We've talked for a long time this morning, probably about the things of this past week. And Lord, we want to look at that and realize where there's need and bring it to you and repent this morning, Lord. If there's a need in that way, we just desire that, Lord, this morning you could come and speak to us. We want to be humble, open, broken vessels. We've heard this morning about pride, and we've heard about our tongues. And we're going to hear about giving. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we speak, as I preach, Lord, may you come, draw us to yourself, and may your word come forth in a clear way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this morning, the topic that's on my heart is I'll just write it out here. The act of giving. And you could put in a lot of different things there. You could put the working out of giving, whatever it is, but we could talk about it. But God's really interested in this happening in our lives. Like when you think about giving, maybe some brothers, what first comes to your mind? What do you feel God would have us to give?
Time.
Time, worship, tithing, ourselves, anything else?
Our life,
is that what you said? Okay, we'll just kind of put that right here with ourselves. You're getting at the wholeness of it. Appreciate that. Another one?
Honor.
You can do honor with an O or OU, however you want to do.
Love.
Money. Okay.
Smile.
Okay, praise the Lord. Give a smile. There's a lot of muscles engaged when we smile. I don't know if you ever studied that. Obedience. Okay, I want to do this one yet, okay? I should have done this different, but here's another one. He wants our heart. We can give him our pocketbook. We can give him our time. We can give him worship. We can do a lot of this stuff on the outward. But if we don't give him our heart, 1 Corinthians, is it, the love chapter, brothers, which one is it? 13. What do we think about? A gong and a clanging cymbal. You know, you're just kind of not appreciative, you know? And those that know us best can probably say how that is. And God knows our heart. And he knows it really well, and he knows right where we're at when we're doing all these things. Our time, our worship, our tithing, our life, honor. We can do a whole lot of this without giving him our heart. So this morning, I'd like to consider that. If you have Thompson Chain reference, 1462, page 1462, is really encompassing a lot of the verses we're going to read. I thought about printing off a copy of that, but if you have Thompson Chain, if you go to page 1462 in your Bibles, there's a lot there. You can follow a lot what we're thinking about. But God is looking for our hearts, and he says, freely ye have received, freely give. Every man, in Deuteronomy 16:17, it says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I'm going to come down to some topic verses here in a little, but I'm brushing over a few scattered ones here. In Ezra 2:69, he says, they gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work. You can turn to Acts chapter 11 if you would. I'd like if you turn to Acts 11. But in the meanwhile, I'd just like to look at this. See, God is not looking for something beyond what we can do. He's looking for us to give what we have. He's given us all these things richly to enjoy. But what he wants us to do is give what we can with what we have, with contentment, with a peace, with a burden, and with our heart. That's all he's asking. Maybe some have deeper pocketbooks than others. You know, the Bible speaks about the one fellows, they had to carry their bags. Maybe they needed help to dump them into the box, you know. And then the next widow lady comes along and plunk, dumps in her mite. All different ways, all different amounts. But the bottom line is he's looking for our hearts this morning, each one of us. The hearts, the full essence and value of those. He says he wants us to worship him with spirit and mind and strength, with all our heart. It's very important to him. Acts 11, if you want to turn there, I'm going to look at some of the things that have happened throughout the Bible. One of them in the New Testament church here, the early church in Acts 11, verse 27, and it says, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples Every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto his the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. In this case, there was a need, and it's very clear that they sent money. They might have sent some letters along the way to encourage the brothers at the church. They might have done that, but it came down in this situation to where they sent money. And that means a lot sometimes, doesn't it? When we have a hospital bill, or we simply don't have to feed our families, and we're at the bottom, and storms or famine has come and taken it all, we can't maybe relate to that real well here in our country. We can't, perhaps. We read stories like that. But we do know that there's cases like this. We read about it. And it's good for it to touch our hearts to the point where we take our wallet and give it all we can give, because we hear that there's a need. And maybe even give to the place where it hurts. Suffer a little bit, maybe, because there's other suffering. Maybe give a little bit beyond what we should have, because there's a burden on our hearts for the work of God and what we hear in other places. You know, it's good for our families and our children to see that. But you know what? It's really good for us as men to be busy about things like this. It really is. Sometimes we can get pretty complacent, pretty comfortable where we're at, and we just don't want to step out of that comfort zone to where? What might happen? Now, I'll leave that with you. You need to walk by faith. But God would like to stretch our faith sometime and take us places. In fact, if we find ourselves at that place, that's where His grace will step in. We can't do it ourselves. Maybe we have to lean on Him stronger. That's not a bad thing. That's good. And we need to be stretched like that. Are we willing? That's my heart this morning. Are we willing to be like that? To give till it hurts, you know? And it might touch our time. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but there's probably been a lot of brothers and sisters this week that were asked for more time than they felt they could give for something. I'm sure. The question that as I get older, as it boils down, I'm 45, I lose track. Am I 44 or 5? 45? Okay, my wife's good for me in this. I got married. You know what happened? I forgot how old I was after that. It didn't matter anymore. And for years, I couldn't remember it, and I'm still struggling with it. But I got married when I was 23. I could tell you that. But as I grow older and I watch, my time is not as long as it was. It's shorter. And you watch a lot of people. I'm middle-aged, and the Lord has blessed where I'm at. I see His hand in my life, and I watch others, and I just ponder on my money, my time, my worship. And at the bottom of it all, where's my heart? You know, this act of giving should be taking place regularly, not just Sunday morning when the collection plate comes around. And we just barely give 10% maybe. I don't know who goes by that number. I'm not going to ask to raise the hands of that either. Some say 10% is God's. What you do beyond that's when you start giving. What about if it gets up into 20-25%? Where is that going to put us? You know what? At the end of it all, it's all God's. It's not ours. And we're basically stewards of his stuff. Some of us have a little more than others, but it's all God's. And so what he's looking for is stewards that keep all these different perspectives we're talking about at a balance to where the love of God shines day in, day out by our lives. And that's a high calling, but you know there's grace to work this out. And we may not find ourselves experiencing that grace if we don't put ourselves in our hearts at a place where he can meet us. That doesn't mean we give more than we have beyond wisdom. It doesn't mean that. And yet it may mean stretching us. But what he is looking for is our hearts. Because that's what he can connect with and move through and speak through throughout the week, day in, day out. He's looking for that. But here in these verses, we read about the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. So he sat down, he thought about his situation, he looked at his business, and he knew that where he's at in the year and how his business was, and he wrote a check. Here, take this one, Paul. And each of the brothers went around, and that's what they did. And they gave. And those brothers on the receiving end were blessed. And Paul used that example later on. You can read about it. The forwardness that they had to just give as they did. Without really being asked, they just heard of the need, and they dug in their pocket and did something about it. In 2 Chronicles, if you would turn there to chapter 31. We're going to look at Hezekiah. There were some areas in Hezekiah's life that really shined and were a real blessing. We're going to look at those this morning. Not going to spend time on those other things. But in 2 Chronicles 31, I'm going to read from verses 2 to 12. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2. It says, "And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service. The priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, and children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare the chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought in the offerings and tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler and Shimei his brother was the next. And we'll skip down to verse 20, and it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began to in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in his commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." And in my Bible, I wrote, "Hallelujah." That's a big statement when God says prospered. When God puts that word there, he doesn't just mean it lightly. It was notable. It stood out. And it spoke to the people. When you have a nation where the king gets his spiritual, as it were, act together and gets first things first and gets things in order to the place where their priorities are where they should be, it makes a big difference for everybody else. Fathers in the home, same thing. When we get their priorities in order and we have the funds and we organize our time and we're giving our wives and our children our hearts, and we're giving God our worship, and we're keeping those things finely tuned and they're all right in balance, it speaks when people enter that home, and it speaks out of the hearts and the lives of our family. Amen? Amen? It does. It feels good and right to those that come in and to those that leave. It speaks, and it ought to be that way. And Hezekiah did a notable job in this. He set things in order, and he gave, and the people got a hold of this thing, and that let loose. I mean, when he says they began foundations, I mean, you know how it is if you start a pile and you don't stack it right? Think of firewood. What happens? You have a big mess. Well, they started giving, and this thing went on for 4 months. It got to the place where they needed to build rooms to put it in. It wasn't working anymore. So they start building storerooms, some for grain, some for the meats. I don't know how they did it in those days, but they had all these different things going on. And the priests were able to do their job, and they had what they needed for the sacrifices. They could focus on what they were doing, and God's name was lifted up. And if you look at the prior chapter, chapter 30, verse 26 and 27, it says, "So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven." Times like this, it says they had a feast. If you look in those prior verses, verse 23, they had the seven-day feast. It was going so good. It was such a blessing. They went 7 days longer. I mean, this was getting into the hearts of the people. That affected their pocketbook, too. It affected their pantry cupboards, their pantry silos, whatever it was they used to store their grain. The balance was where God wanted it to be. And God came down, and things happened in a good way for the name of God. And so they had their time there and extended it yet another week. And they got going on this. And it says here in chapter 31, verse 9, Hezekiah shows up in verse 8. And the princes, you know, because there's accounting and there's people in charge, you got to have authority. So you stop and you connect with the people you put in charge to see how it's going. Say, "Brother David, how's it going?" Well, we've got these heaps, but we've got to do something about this. It's not working anymore. It's coming on strong. And we're glad for this. The priests aren't hungry anymore. Their families have enough to eat. So he digs in again and builds some storerooms and so on. This was a blessing in the time of the kingdom of Judah. And I believe, as we look at this as men, would to God that this would grip our hearts and we could get busy preparing as Noah did. He built an ark. May we build our homes. May we help some of these things. Brothers, you know where you're at. Summer's a busy time. Fall's coming on. Winter's coming soon. Where are you at with your time? What are we busy doing? I'm talking to me as well as you. So how about our worship time? Family devotions in the morning. Is that one in good order? Where it needs to be? I won't ask for amens. I won't ask for a raise of hands. Let's search our hearts. Maybe there is a need there. Hopefully it's well taken care of. I don't know where you're at. That's a big one. And then here, tithing in our life and honor. And this one speaks to me. What about a smile? What about that, huh? Are we giving enough smiles throughout the day? Are we giving enough love? Are the love tanks full with those around us? Where are we at? What's in our heart comes out. I mean, help us all, Lord, to get this one where it needs to be. And then obedience. Do we just love to serve God? I tell the children different times, we don't have to go to church. We get to go. You don't have to wash the dishes. You get to wash the dishes. You don't have to sweep the floor. You get to sweep the floor. A lot of children don't have these things. You know, they don't have food to eat. They don't have a table to wash. We have so much food, some of us need to cut back. You know, maybe we do. We're very blessed. And we want to teach our children that way. To work as hard as we can and to save all we can so we can give all we can. If all the further we go is our needs, that's short of what God wants to do. God wants to take it and use it beyond just our four walls. He really does. I have some vehicles in my that I own that I drive. And if you shut the one, the bottom of the doors rattle. The rust has caused a separation there, and the inner and outer liner flap, you know. I've got one of those. You know, sometimes the family don't like taking that one places. You know what I tell them? I say, boys and girls, this one's paid for. None of the lights are on, and it runs good. But I intentionally keep it. Because, you know, I have more of this stuff to give if I just use it a while yet. It's still running. There's no shame in that. And I think we do well to just keep that perspective down here somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a price to pay when it shines. And there's less going into here when that happens, perhaps. Because it's going somewhere else, because you know how that goes. I don't have to explain that all. We know. Maybe we can drive it a little longer. Maybe we can use it a little longer so we can have more to give. So we can have more to spend for God. There's no shame in that. And you know, amongst us, I think we should encourage it to be so. That is keeping our priorities in a good way, maybe when it comes to vehicles. Now, You take that, that's what I'm thinking. You put the shoe on yourself where it fits. Maybe that's different for you. That's okay. But these are some things I practice. And I think we do well to consider the principle. That's my heart this morning. You engage it in your own wisdom and way. God give you a blessing in that, to do that. And please don't judge me. And I won't want to judge you. What my heart is this morning is to help each of us in the way. And whether it's pride or our tongue or our image, whatever that is it pleasing to God? That's my heart this morning. If we turn our hearts like Hezekiah did, if you look at verse 20 here, it says, he wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And he set his heart to seek God, and with all his heart he did it. And it says that he prospered. God's blessing was on this, and it was real, and it was obvious, and people talked about it. It was evident, and I thank God for that testimony. Hezekiah left. He followed God with his heart. It's a blessing. We do go to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Why don't we all stand up a minute here and let's read this verse together here. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It says, let's read it together. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You can be seated. Appreciate you reading that verse. The next verse says, Asa was wroth with the preacher. He didn't want to hear this, for he was in a rage because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Asa had a good testimony, and then he fell short in other areas later on. Well, my question is, as I look around me, I look at the people I grew up with, my wife and I, when we got married. I look at some of the people that were at our wedding. That's 21 years ago, or 22 years now, it's going on. And you look at that. How many of them are faithful today? It's scary. And some of them have broken homes too. And it's creeping into our setting. And it's not to be. We have to have a burden and a vision in this thing. It won't just happen. We've got to get our priorities where that these things and the whole encompassing atmosphere of our hearts is to please God. Or we're not gonna make it. Asa made it a long ways down the road. But if you look in verse 12, latter part of the verse, it says, yet in his disease, in his feet, that he had a disease there, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And that was kind of the overall where he was at if you read the rest of his life. He made it a long ways down the road. But when he came to that intersection of choice, he chose wrong. And God had mercy on him and would have changed the circumstances if what? But he'd have turned his heart. That's all. That's all he had to do. Well, my question is this morning, brothers and sisters, where do we find ourselves in relation to our heart and eternity? What are we giving, and are we giving it our all? I'm speaking to myself this morning. I've got a lot going on in my life right now. Things are happening. People come. They see me building this project at our place. We have a need. And they come alongside and they say, Dirk, wow, this has really gone places, you know. Pat me on the shoulder and so. And all I'm doing in my heart is, what are these deals? There's nothing wrong with building, brothers. There's nothing wrong, I don't believe, with serving God and doing what needs done. But God help us if that thing gets this right here. Our heart. And I'm speaking to myself this morning. But if people pat us on the shoulder, I think sometimes if it's on the things of this world, we better open our eyes. Or we might be heading down the wrong road. And that has been sobering me in quite a way, because I know that a lot of people went 70% of the way and they lost it. And that last 30%, I would rather not read about right here. May God help us. Because, brothers, that's not what we want. God wants faithful stewards. And he has a big shovel. And he loves dumping it and watching what we do with it. All we are is stewards all week long. That's all we're doing. Some people can handle a bigger wagon than others. God's got one big shovel. But he wants to see people be faithful in the little things. Because he wants that shovel to dig. He didn't have the shovel just to sit on it. He wants to use it. It's all his stuff. He doesn't like to see us Christians to just simply get a fire insurance and get saved and have fire insurance. That's not the plan of the gospel. Freely we have received this, freely give. Others, Lord, others. This my prayer shall be, as another psalm says. And that's what my heart is this morning. Brothers and sisters, let's give God our all. Let's just do it. Get serious about it. You can build, you can invest, you can work, you can do all that. We're called to do those things. That's what he gives us what we have for. But he wants the essence. He wants our heart, and he wants it all. He's not looking to take it back. He's looking to give us more, but he wants us to give. He doesn't want it just spent on our four walls and what's inside there. And so Hezekiah, he had a hold of that thing, and God came down. Asa, he did too, but it didn't turn out right in the end. And my prayer this morning is that would to God that it can for me, that it can turn out well. We need God's wisdom in this all. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Moreover, we, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Do you see that verse 6 there? Do you see that, what it says? And it says, this they did. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They did that with all their heart. They did it for real. And then what happens when people do that? Everything they have is the Lord's. When that's in order, there's always something to give. Amen? It's for real, brothers. There is. But that blessed Paul and it blesses me. And I know one thing, it pleased God because they gave to him themselves. And then what happened after that was reasonable service. In verse 6, it says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And now here, listen closely, brothers, this 9 and 10, this verse is very profound, and we're going to talk about this a little bit here. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, how rich was he? He had it all. We know that. And it says that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank Jesus Christ that he was willing to give it all, that we might become rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, and before the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And those verses I find very interesting. Paul is telling them, he's saying, look, I heard about it, you talked about it, there's a need, it's time to give. He's just being very upfront with them. That's what he was doing. How many of us need teaching at times to be willing to give? I do. How many of us need that kind of teaching? Let's raise our hands on that one, whoever feels the need. At this time, Paul, that story that we read about in Acts where they talked about it and then they gave, that story got all over the place. It was an outstanding sum, I believe. The need was great, but what came was huge. And it spoke to the churches and to the people around. It made a huge difference. And here again, Paul is using this example and others just teaching about giving. But brothers, the thing that burns in my heart that I want us to be aware of in this all, verse 12, I feel it's the big thing. First, there needs to be a willing mind. It is accepted for a man to give according to that he hath. If we spend our time in our lives thinking of what we can't give and what we should have given, or what the other brother's doing, and we don't just simply accept our lot in life where we're at and do what we can, we're going to lose a blessing. And there's going to be a lot of things that God could have done with that might, or with more or with less, if we would have just simply give what we had. Our obedience, our time, our worship, our life, our honor. That's all God's looking for. Not more than what we have. He's not looking for what we should have been in a judgmental way. He knows what we can be. He wants to draw us that way. I want to communicate a clear idea here somehow. But are we content? Are we willing to just give God what we have? Are we doing that? Just freely. We have received, freely give. Don't look around us. He that looks around us and goes by others is not wise. He that judges himself by others, it's not wise. God is looking down on Joe's heart. He's looking down on Willis's heart, and he's saying, brothers, my children, can you do this for me? He's looking down at each one of us. He loves us. He's made us in his image, and he just wants to use us, our stuff, who we are. He wants to use us. Are we willing to give him our all? In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I encourage you, young and old, take your Bible and highlight that one. That's noteworthy right there. Don't just read over that one. When people show up at your door and it's past the hour and you put the food away and God loveth a cheerful giver. When you've given your time and your time is all, they say, and there's no more to give, and it takes a little more time, God loveth a cheerful giver. And I'm speaking to myself this morning, but brothers, may God help us in this thing. It does not always feel good. But I think you know as well as I do, as you grow older, when you learn to be obedient in the little things, the end result after something that's hard to go through is usually the better way. And when you look back at it, those are the things where we tend to learn the most. Is that right? Do you brothers feel that sometimes as you look back at life? When you look back and this thing was not an easy experience to go through, but you kept pressing on, I think we can all relate that those are times when we experience the most grace and the most growth. And it's God's heart not to put us out and beyond, but if we're willing to go that far, he has grace to take us through. And that's when he can meet us there. He wants to meet us and take us through. And it says in verse 8 here of chapter 9, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And it goes on in verse 15. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's turn yet to Malachi, if we could. The last verse is at the end of the Old Testament. In my early Christian life, before I got married and some of the things I went through, they were not easy things, and I wouldn't wish them on anybody. I had a lot of stuff to lay down, and I had some stuff I was laying a hold of by faith, but I could not feel it sometimes. The feelings were not there. By faith I was going, but it did not feel good. Because my conscience told me no, but by faith I knew it was right. And I had to make some steps in life that I knew were right. Because I talked to brothers about it. I opened my heart to the word. I had prayed about it. I made some steps that I knew were right. I didn't walk foolishly. But it did not feel good. And in my DNA from where I'm coming from, it told me that it was not the place to go. But by faith, it said it was right. And I went. And God has blessed because of that. And I believe he has a heart to keep blessing. I really believe that. But he's looking for me to keep making those same steps. I believe that. If we look here in Malachi, over the years, I've looked at this chapter, and I just said, do it again, God. Just do it again. I want to see this happen. I want to see the reality of this in this world. Do it again. Use me. Speak to me. But Lord, this is my heart. Thank you for these words. They're just the beautiful words. In Malachi 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And God gives them the ultimatum. He says this, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's not just a little bit. That's huge. God's rooms are a lot bigger than ours are. And he's got one big shovel. He hasn't run out for any of us. He's got more coming. His mercy's new every day. He ain't run out of it yet. Joe's as old as he is, and he's seen him faithful. Right, Joe? You've seen God be faithful like this? Yeah. And he's wanting to do it again today. And he's got the same habit. God don't change. He's got this, I picture a 9-yard payloader, if that makes any sense to you fellas. He's trying to dump it on this little elevator. He's having to trickle the bucket because the elevator can't handle it only so fast. And he's got this whole pile to dump on there yet. He wants to get this thing going once. It ain't doing him any good sitting here. He wants it out. He wants it in production. He wants fruit. He wants the reward of his sufferings that he paid for this pile in the hearts of man. He's got this payloader sitting there with an operator just waiting to dump the bucket once. I mean, get it out. Would you just listen to me? Would you just do what I said, please? And we have this mediator up there. Just come on, do it. Obey him, follow after him. And then we make a mistake and he's there. God, I know he has a heart. Would you have mercy on him? And this whole thing is happening in the background, brothers. Because God's got this whole thing going on. He's got this project he wants to accomplish, and he's got these storehouses, and he wants to do it on this side. He wants it to be visible to the people in this country that we live, that there is a God in heaven. It's for real, amen? It is for real. And he's up there, and he's just looking at this little elevator, and he's saying, it's okay, I'll work with you. Get up, get going again. And gives us some more, whatever. What do you need? He's got it coming. Praise the Lord. I got a lot of needs. What about you? That's not the point of who we are. It's all about him and who he is. He just wants to use us. So, brothers and sisters, I've read this verses many a time. When I went through some of those hard things, and I realized that this is God's project. And he's got a whole lot to invest. He's just looking for willing servants. That's all. And yet, I want to turn to the last verse. At the bottom of my Bible there, it says the end of the Old Testament, but there's this last verse that speaks to me many times. And I think it's the heart of God for us as men. And it's what makes the wheels turn in this whole project that we're involved in. It says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I have written there in my Bible, what a profound truth. Somehow in the middle of all this, brothers, in the middle of our time and our worship and life and our tithing and our money and so on and so forth, what God is looking is for us in our homes, that our hearts can be knit together. And that this burden, this vision, these things that we're living in for, that we're talking about, the things that we wear on our heads and on our feet and on our bodies, our life is getting communicated to our children, and that our children walk in this path, and that it's something that the people see around us, that there is a God. I see him. At that address in Dundee, I see him. Does he see it in Clark and where Millersburg? And does he see him at that address once or twice in the hearts of these children? This is something God's looking for, is our hearts to be like this with one another at home, where our homes are tight and that our hearts are knitting together and sharing our hearts and our lives and our goals and our desires of God and things. And that we're moving along on that pathway to glory. It's God's heart. And I guess basically I'm just sharing this morning because God's been giving me some heartburn this last while. That's all. Things that I've been thinking about. Things I'm facing in my own life. Priorities and perspectives and so on. And brothers, my prayer this morning is, where are you at? And what are you willing to do about it? That's my prayer this morning for myself. I say that to myself. Let's search our hearts. You know, we all have our responsibilities, and we're all accountable for those things. Whether they be great or small or whatever we're thinking, doesn't matter. It's who we are to God, and that's where we are. And he wants to take us along the pathway of life, and he wants to walk together with us. And he's got a whole lot bigger payloader than we're aware of. And if we need it, he's able. So may God bless in it all.